I'm glad to be here tonight, thankful for all of his blessings. I know that God is a giver of life. Has he given you life? I feel excited about what the Lord is doing all around the world. I feel excited about it. I feel excited about what God is doing in our church. I feel excited about what God is doing in our individual lives. Thank you, Jesus. Once I was lost, but now I'm found. Have you thought about how profound that is, how good that is, how wonderful that is, to know that God has kept you? Now let's go to 2 Timothy for a little while tonight. Thank you for giving me the privilege of preaching to you, for being here tonight, for being plugged in. I'm so honored just to have the opportunity to speak to you. I'm humbled always when I come to the pulpit. I feel so unworthy. And the more I preach and the more I know about God and the things of God, the more shocked I am that God chose me. God is just so good. And so I want to just try to break the bread of life. Not a little anything fancy, but just something I feel on my heart tonight. The word is good. The word is anointed. Now let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll start at verse number 1 and we'll read 2 Timothy 2 through about verse 5. 2 Timothy 2 verses 1 through 5. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Be strong in the grace. Everybody say strong in grace. And be strong in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same, what you've heard, what you've learned, what you know about grace, what you know about Jesus Christ, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This, of course, is Paul's clear instruction that those chosen to teach should be apt to teach. Notice the language. Men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Let's pray that God will help us. I want to preach on this subject, chosen to be a soldier. Chosen to be a soldier. Let's pray. God, in your name, I pray that you'll help us right now to receive and to bring to bear upon our own lives the word, that we'll not just be hearers but doers of the word. Let the word strike into someone's heart tonight. Let someone be touched through the preaching of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Called to be a soldier. Is that the language here? Called to be a soldier. More than that, a good soldier. Called to be a good soldier. Let's say that together. Called to be a good soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Remember who called you. Be a good soldier. A few days ago, British troops in Kuwait were shot because all along the border between Kuwait and Iraq, they have placed barriers of all different kinds, namely razor wire, huge amounts of razor wire, barriers of all different kinds, so that they can protect the borders of Kuwait against any possible counter invasion that may take place. God forbid that war should break out in Iraq. And it was at night, and the winds were blowing, and the sand was kicking up, and it was a hot night in the desert. And suddenly, out of nowhere, coming through the mist, if you could call it a mist, coming through the maze of blowing sand in the darkness of the night, were many, many Iraqi soldiers. More than just a few, many. And they were very ragtag kind of group. They were very hungry. They were in very bad shape. Some of them had hardly no shoes fit to wear, little sandals. Some of them had clothes that were torn. And they were part of Saddam Hussein's army. Saddam Hussein, by the way, is a multi-billionaire many times. He has 16 palatial palaces throughout his land. But his people, by the thousands, by the millions even, are starving to death. The British soldiers were shocked because they thought that they had sealed all the holes. They couldn't imagine. How did these soldiers, these Iraqi soldiers, how did they get on the other side of the barrier? How did they go from Iraq to Kuwait? How did they get through the razor wire? How did they get through the barriers? They were totally mystified. Suddenly, in the middle of the night, the sandstorm night, the hot desert, standing in front of the British soldiers, were large contingencies of Iraqi soldiers. Somehow they had heard gunfire, and they misinterpreted the gunfire. The gunfire was actually the British soldiers doing some kind of training routine, and they were firing their weapons, and as soldiers do, testing their weapons and making sure that they weren't clogged with sand and so forth. So they were shooting quite a bit of ammunition into the air, so to speak. And when the Iraqi soldiers heard the firing of the British guns, they made a wrong assumption. They assumed that the war had begun. And so they reasoned among themselves, it appears as if the war has begun. They had no satellite, no television, no cell phones. They're in a very remote part of Iraq, just across the Kuwaiti border. If you've ever seen that part of the world, it's a very barren and harsh place. So they heard the sound. They had no communication. So they reasoned among themselves. They said, the war must have started. Now, they had a game plan. They had reasoned among themselves over the past few months that when the war would start, they had a plan. And their plan was, as soon as they could feel the pressure of the battle, as soon as the battle started, they had a plan. Their plan was, we will surrender. That was their plan. They never had any intentions of fighting. They had reasoned among themselves that the best thing we can do, when they took a look at the American troops and the British troops, they saw this huge, vast army assembled against them with all the sophisticated modern weaponry that was arrayed against them. They said, the only thing we can do with our ragtag clothes here, with our very antique French rifles. Our French tanks, for which we are having a hard time getting parts delivered from France. French government wants to portray themselves as pacifists. In fact, they've been arming the Iraqi war party for many, many, many years. That's what they don't want you to know. So they said, when we look at these ragtag last generation guns that we imported from France, and we look at this army arrayed against us, we have a plan. Our plan is to surrender. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to suggest to you something, and I hope you'll pay attention. That is not a good plan. If you are a soldier of the cross, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I hope that you don't have anywhere in your plan the idea that somehow surrender is the right thing to do. As a matter of fact, the British told these boys, said, no, no, gentlemen, the war hasn't started yet. And we're going to ask you to go back to Iraq, because we're going to kill you later, maybe, but the war hasn't started yet. And so they hauled, and I'm saying this a bit facetiously, but it is sad, of course. They hauled them back and took them back across the border and released them and said, the war hasn't started yet. But what I want to say to you is, if you have any plan, if you have any thought that somehow surrender is an option, you are not fulfilling the charge that Jesus Christ has given to us. He has called us to be good soldiers. He has called us to fight the good fight of faith. He has not called us to turn our backs. He has not called us to retreat. He has not called us to be afraid. As a matter of fact, God wants us to be men and women of courage, as I preached this morning, to be bold, to be strong. This is not a time for surrender. It doesn't matter how much fighting you may think is coming your way, how difficult the times may be ahead. You must determine to be a good soldier. How many want to be a good soldier? How many want to fight the good fight of faith? How many want to hang on there through every storm, through every trial, through every situation? God has called you to be a good soldier. We need some good soldiers in this time. I was inspired. I mean, literally inspired. I could not get the imagery of this out of my mind. I couldn't get the things that I heard out of my soul. Just a few weeks ago, I was in Bangor, Maine, which is one of the main areas. It's a staging area for Marines, and they're shipping Marines out of Bangor, Maine. Of course, thousands, multiplied thousands of soldiers, Marines, men and women have been shipped by planes or flown out of Bangor, Maine. So it's a staging area for getting soldiers out of the United States. It's not the only one, but it's one of the major staging areas. And I happened to be there trying to catch a flight on a snowy night. There was about 30 inches of snow on the ground. It was bitter, bitter cold, and there was ice coming on top of that. And we were in the airport waiting many, many hours, hoping that there would be at least one flight heading back toward the Midwest. And so I could not help but see this mass of soldiers in the airport, dressed in their desert camouflage, preparing to ship out. And, of course, they were all very uptight. They were very tense. And I walked around to the little restaurant there. It's a very small Bangor International Airport. It's a very small little place. Just one room, not much bigger than maybe two of these sections here. And I was walking around and went by the restaurant and the little magazine store, bought a newspaper. And I walked past the telephones, and there was a little girl. I call her a little girl when you're as old as I am. 22-year-old girl looks like a little girl. She just looked like a little girl to me. But, of course, she was a woman. And she was on the phone, and she was calling. And she kept saying, "I have to go now. I have to go now." And tears were running down her face. And she was obviously talking to someone that she loved very much, her family or someone. I'm not really sure. But she kept saying, "I've got to go. You don't understand. I've got to go." And she said, to the telephone, and I couldn't help but hear, because she was sobbing and crying, hear all of these people, men and women, were loading. I was surprised how many women were in this group. Men and women that were loading into these airplanes and being shipped out. And finally, she hung up the phone and she turned, and I said to her, I said, "Are you okay?" She said, "Yes." I said, "I know it must be hard to go." And of course, she was at this little moment when I said that to her. She didn't play this out for me, so I'm just kind of assuming. I'm assuming that there was this moment, I could feel it, emotional moment. Are you still with me? When she was trying to decide whether or not to allow me to sympathize with her. Now, that was a very crucial moment for her, if you're still with me, because I had a very fatherly feeling toward her. I was completely emotionally shattered by this little girl, woman, 20-some years old, maybe 21 or 22. And you know what I'm thinking as a father? I'm thinking, my goodness, what if that was one of my girls standing there on the telephone getting ready to ship out? And so here I come, this kind of fatherly image, and I'm saying to her, "I'm so sorry, and it's really sad. I hate to see that you have to go," some kind of remark like that. And there was this moment, just this little moment between her and I, and our eyes made contact, and she was standing there, and it was as if she just kind of shook herself, because I could feel that she wanted to respond to my sympathy. Are you still there? She wanted to say, "Yes, this is very hard." I really felt, and I mean this in the most pure way, she almost fell into my arms. There was this moment when she was just like teetering. And she was like, yes, it is hard. It's very difficult. And I'm standing there. I mean, I'm so close to tears that honestly, if she had reached out to be hugged, I would have hugged her and I would have cried. She was that close. But she didn't. This is the key. This is what affected me. She didn't. She resisted any kind of emotional contact with me. She said, I said, it must be a very difficult thing. And she shook all of that off. It was almost like she could just feel her shaking it off. And she reached way down inside where people go to get a hold of something that they got to get a hold of when they got to get a hold of it. And she reached way down in there and she said, no, it is not hard to go. No, because I want to serve my country. Oh, oh, that, ladies and gentlemen, is a good soldier. And I'm going to confess to you, I don't understand it. I really don't understand that kind of death. And I just, I mean, I do understand it, but I mean, I'm so moved by it. Look at what the Apostle Paul is saying right here. He's saying, God, we have to remember who has called us. Now, when I'm standing there, here's the girl on the telephone, all the emotional dynamics that I just described to you, but she had the courage, Brother Lloyd, to shake all of that sympathy. She did not allow herself to slide down that dark pool of self-pity. She shook that off and she said, no, I am proud to go. I'm going to serve my country. She was a good soldier. What a powerful thing. Now, what she did at that moment was recognize who had called her. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Remember, who has called you to be a soldier? I didn't call you to be a good soldier. Jesus Christ has called you to be a good soldier. When the devil comes and wants you to feel sorry for yourself, say, no, devil, I'm not going back. I'm going to be a good soldier. I've been called to be a good soldier. A good soldier is a person that can rise above themselves, that can place themselves on the line. It takes a tremendous amount of commitment. It takes a tremendous amount of understanding to really submit yourself as a soldier. All these people that somehow are bashing the military. You can disagree with Bush, that's not the point. But you ought to thank God for this voluntary group of young men and women that have put on their desert fatigue and have said, I hear the call, my nation's calling. Sure, they don't understand. In their heart of hearts, they don't want to go. But they know that there's some supreme power somehow that has called them. And that's what the Apostle Paul is using here for an analogy. He said, you got to learn to be a good soldier. You got to figure out who called you. Some of you folks think Calvary called you. Calvary didn't call you. Jesus called you. Your daddy didn't call you. God called you. You ought to wake up every morning and say, I am determined to be a good soldier. I want somebody to help me preach here. I'm determined to be a good soldier. Let me tell you, if young men and women can find the courage to put on their desert fatigues and go out and fight and be a good soldier, I believe every Pentecostal born-again person in this place ought to find the courage and the faith to be a good Christian. Somebody say amen. You're so afraid somebody's going to criticize you. Forget it. You're so afraid somebody is going to put you down. Can't you bear a little burden? Can't you bear a little cross? Can't you fight a little fight? Be a good soldier. God has... See, here's the second component of this. Not only a good soldier wanting to please the one that had called. You know, people hear the call. Wanting to please the one that called. But there's more to this. There's also the idea of commitment. Commitment. You're not afraid of that word, are you? Some people get nervous. They say, well, you know, Calvary's getting ready to launch a new building program. And they get real square. So afraid somebody's going to ask them for something. Where is your commitment? Somebody said, well, we're in the last days. You know, I don't want to get in trouble with my boss. I don't want to get in trouble with my family.
Where's your commitment? You're so afraid to make a commitment. Don't be afraid to make a commitment. Serve the Lord with your whole heart. It's not about giving a little bit of yourself. Give your whole self. Commitment. Whatever. Whatever it takes, whatever separation, whatever kind of things you have to go through, whatever kind of training you have to go through, something inside of you wants to say, I want to be a soldier, a good soldier, because of the one that has called me. Stand to your feet. Let's sing a little song. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Amen, amen. You want to be a good soldier? Everybody say, I want to be a good soldier. As a good soldier, you want to please the one that called you. Now, if old Saddam comes out there and says to our soldiers, shoot yourself in the foot. They're not going to shoot themselves in the foot because he didn't call them. You got to know who called you. Jesus has called you. Hollywood didn't call you. That's why you ought to turn off the idiot box and get your face down on the carpet somewhere and pray until you get in contact with the captain of your salvation. You need to get in contact with the man that's in charge. Oprah didn't call you. God called you. The rock musicians didn't call you, young people. Jesus called you. Take up your call. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. No, I'm just angry at the devil here tonight because the enemy wants you to get discouraged. He'll offer you any kind of old bone he can to get you to turn your back on your call. He'll even offer you sympathy. Like I was trying to do to the little girl, trying to offer her sympathy, but she refused to accept my sympathy. I admired her for that. She shook it off. And you sometimes have to realize that when the devil says, oh, feel sorry for yourself. You're a Christian. You can't do this. You can't do that. That's all a bunch of lies. I'll tell you what you can do as a Christian. You can have the strength to overcome the temptations and the sin and the corruption and the filth that's in this world. So you can live a godly, holy, righteous life. Somebody say yes! Don't you get tired of hearing people whine? Don't you get tired of hearing people complain? Don't you think it's time, Calvary, for us to say we are soldiers in the army of the Lord and we are determined to be? Help me now. We are determined to be what kind of soldiers? What kind of soldiers? What kind of soldiers? Good soldier. A good soldier says, I know who's called me. A good soldier says, I've made a commitment. Let's sing a little chorus right now. Put your hands together. We need to get ready for battle. We need to get ready for war. These are the last days. Listen to me. If young men and women, thank God for them, and I admire them, I respect them. This is a volunteer army, by the way. If a young group of young men and women in this country have the strength and the courage to make commitments, to be soldiers, perhaps in a conflict that's very, very difficult to understand and clash, that may turn into a clash between civilizations. Who knows? This is big time. We're in a very tense moment. But if somehow our government can inspire, and thank God it can, and our country can inspire, thank God it can, I'm glad that it can inspire the hearts and the minds and the devotion of young men and women. But if that can happen in the secular world, ladies and gentlemen, it ought to happen to even a better degree and a stronger degree in the church. I'm going to run that by you again because I want you to really get that. If it's possible for a young man and a young woman to find the courage and the faith and the inspiration and the vision to commit themselves to the discharge of the United States of America to serve as a soldier, if they can find the courage to do that for earthly reasons and for governmental reasons and for political reasons, then is it unfair to ask our young people to step up spiritually. I'm talking about spiritually now. To step up spiritually and say, Jesus, here I am. I'm not interested in just pleasing my mama. I don't want somebody's sympathy. I'm not interested in just the life of rock and roll and television. I don't want to spend the rest of my life in front of a stupid video machine. I want to find a place that's fair in the kingdom. I'm making a call for you tonight. We need some good soldiers. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And let me tell you parents something. Don't discourage your young people when they want to be preachers, when they want to be missionaries, when they want to get involved in the work of God. I would rather have my children committed to God and God's work than to see them be successful in this world because it's more. to be good, good, good soldiers. Remember who's calling us. Jesus is the one. I believe God's calling an army of believers like we have never seen before in the history of the world. Where are you, Sister House? Are you here tonight? Where are you, Sister House? There's Sister House. She's from the Philippines. Now, I want to tell you something about the Filipinos. They're the most amazing people because when they make a commitment to Christianity, when they make a commitment to serve God, they mean it from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. That's why God is using them in what has been now referred to as the Filipino diaspora. They are traveling all over the world. And everywhere they go, the greatest revival we're having in Israel right now is among Filipinos. The greatest revival that we're having even in Kuwait is among Filipinos. The greatest revival that we're having in Turkey is among Filipinos who have been imported into Turkey, who have been immigrated into Turkey to work and to labor there, and God is using them to make an impact. I'll tell you, it's an exciting thing. Those of you that went with us to Tel Aviv, to go back in that little alley and walk into that room, and there was 150 Filipinos praising and worshiping God. You know why? Because somewhere they said, we want to be good soldiers. Wherever you want us to go, we'll even leave our beloved island. We'll go wherever you want us to go. That's so we can be good soldiers. I don't make any apologies. I'm calling our young people to a life of prayer. I'm calling our young people to a life of contemplation. The Holy Spirit's here tonight, and God's trying to call some of you to mission. God's trying to call some of you to the ministry. And I believe that if you will commit yourself to be a good soldier, then Brother Moon, you shouldn't get so excited how excited about it. Because God is building up an army of believers like this world has never seen before. You shouldn't be ashamed if your kids want to go to Bible school. Say, well, I want them to get a good education. When they commit them, their lives to God, that is a good education. Clap your hands to the Lord. That is a good education. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's sing.
I'm a soldier
in
the army. And I'm marching
for
glory and victory.
A few warmer. He didn't call you just to sit forever. He called you to be be a soldier. He calls you to open up your mouth and worship. He calls you to testify. He calls you to witness. He calls you to be an example. He calls you to be a soldier.
Well, I'm a soldier
in the army.
When Brother Anderson calls you to duty, when he says we're going to pass out tracts, when he says we're going to sing in the choir, when he says we're going to have a revival, we're going to have a prayer meeting, when he says we're going to do some very special things, you got to say, well, Captain Anderson, I'm a soldier in the army. Yeah, that's right. God called me. I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. I don't want sympathy. We're going to push everything aside. We're going to get rid of everything that we can get rid of. You know, the Bible says that a man that's striving for the mastery does not entangle himself with the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you say, I'm going to accomplish something that requires discipline, duty, I got to do it, I got to be there, I got to be faithful. It's good to see. Isn't this a wonderful looking choir? 65 young people in this choir tonight. Young people, how many believe you can have 100 in this choir? Come on, put your hands together if you believe it. You say, well, how can we do that? Be a good soldier. Not only duty, of course, but then there's something called loyalty. You know, if you're a soldier, you can't just change sides every day. You can't be a Christian on Sunday and then, you know, be a heathen on Monday. You got to live for him 24 hours a day, every day. Do you think one of our soldiers, not, I don't believe this will happen, but do you think one of our soldiers could get away with saying, well, today I think I'll be an American. I'll wear an American flag on my sleeve, and the next day we wear the Iraqi flag. Do you think they'd get away with that? So I think I'll work for the Iraqians today. Do you think they'd get away with that? I think I'll go over and shoot the French guns for the Iraqis. No. That's not going to happen, folks. You can't do that. You can't switch sides. You can't come to church on Monday and say, or on Sunday and say, well, I'm in church. I think I'll wear my Christian flag. I'll wear my little Christian hat. I'll wear my Christian vest. And then when you get to school on Monday, you just are any old thing. And you talk to any old body. You play any old kind of music. You listen to any old kind of track. Play any old kind of games. No. You're a soldier 24 hours a day in the army of the Lord, committed to God. And not just a soldier, ladies and gentlemen, but a good soldier. God is trying to help some of you tonight, I believe. And God, by His Spirit, is trying to talk to somebody here in this place. It's time for you to be a good soldier. A good soldier. Endure hardness. You say, you don't know what I'm going through. Perhaps not, but all of us go through things. The little girl on the phone is going, I gotta go. She's enduring the terrible separation as a good soldier, shaking off any call to sympathy. Refusing to be given to any sympathetic feelings about her condition. I'm a soldier. I'm proud to serve. I'm proud to serve. I gotta go. Commitment to it. And not just fear. You say, well, she was afraid not to go because she probably would have been court-martialed. Let me tell you, kids that want to quit the army, they're not afraid of court-martialing. Not anymore. They don't shoot soldiers like that anymore either. They never did much, actually. But you know, that's not the problem. The problem is commitment. People have commitment. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. God, I want to be a good soldier. I want to be a good member of Calvary Tabernacle. I want to be a good pastor. I want to be a good teacher. I want to be a good, godly, holy person. I want to be a good defender of the faith. I don't want to just hang out at the church. I want to be a good soldier. I don't want to just write about the church. I want to be a good soldier. I don't want to be a spectator of soldiering. I want to soldier. I don't want to read novels about soldiers. I want to be a soldier. I don't want to think about soldiering in some fantasy world. You know, people do fantasy travel. Am I right? They sit around with travel magazines. I like to do that some. They call that armchair travelers. Armchair traveling. You know, you can get magazines and you can go to the greatest hotels, the greatest spas, and you can just fantasize about it all. and think, man, and then you look down in the small print and it says $2,000 a night. You ever done that? Can I get a witness? And you're like, wow, $2,000 a night. Boy, that would be nice, though. Wouldn't that be nice? Wow. And you just fantasize about it. I don't want to be that kind of soldier. I want to be a real soldier. I want to get in there and fight the real fight of faith. I want to be alive. I want to be faithful to church. I want to pay my tithe. I want to serve God in my giving. I want to pray. I want to worship. I want to be a participator. I want to get in the plan. I want to get on the program. I am determined to be a good soldier. Stand. Some of you good soldiers are tired of hearing me preach. Be a good soldier. Now look, there's some of you here tonight that are hearing something inside your heart. It's not about what I'm saying, literally, but what the Holy Spirit is saying in your heart. And some of you know that you need to become a more committed, loyal soldier. More dutiful. More faithful. A soldier in the army of the Lord. A faithful soldier. A good soldier. Look at your life right now and ask yourself the hard question. Am I a good soldier? Or am I just a whining church member? Am I a good soldier? Or am I just a perpetual complainer? Am I a good soldier? Or am I just lazy? It takes good soldiering to be in the choir week after week. It takes good soldiering to be in outreach ministry. It takes good soldiering to commit yourself to prayer. It takes good soldiering to witness out on the job and to witness to your relatives and friends, especially when they can see you coming and you know how they feel. But to be a good soldier, to be a good soldier. You won't always get people waving the flag at you. I went back to Bangor, Maine this week, again for a meeting, just a couple days ago. Came in last night. They had something had happened in Bangor. So many people had been shipping out, so many people that there was a small group of protesters that decided to start just kind of protesting the war in the face of the soldiers that were marching into battle. That's a hard thing, people. That's just a nasty thing to do. But this week, we were so proud because there were citizens in Bangor, Maine that said, no, we're not going to let that happen. And they filled this certain part of the street this morning with flags, and they were just blowing their horns, waving the flags. Sometimes you'll get people waving the flags and saying, be a good soldier. And sometimes you have to walk through the jeers and the taunts and people that don't understand. But the commitment doesn't have anything to do with whether it's a good crowd or a bad crowd. Whether it's somebody saying, oh yeah, that's wonderful, or somebody is saying, ooh, you're a bad person. Your commitment is to the cross and to Christ. Good days, bad days, when people are for you or when people are against you. We apostolics have to be good soldiers, even if people don't understand what we're all about. Just keep marching. Marching as a good soldier. I want to be a good soldier. I want to pray for you right now. Before I give the altar call, I want to pray for every member of this church that you'll make a fresh commitment to be a good soldier. A good soldier. To be faithful. To be faithful. Every Sunday morning, this place needs to look just like it looks right now. Every Thursday night, short of some unpreventable thing, Thursday night needs to look just like it looks right now and more. You need to be good soldiers. This is no time for laying off and getting lazy. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And I know everybody's busy. We're all busy. I respect that. Let me tell you, when we get too busy for God, we're too busy. When we're too busy to get up and come to Sunday school, we are too busy. We're getting ready to make a push for Easter. Be faithful to the house of God. You cannot expect your friends and visitors to come to this house unless you come to this house. You've got to show that you're faithful to the house of God. Somebody help me now. Somebody help me now. Get up. Get your carcass up. Get moving. Put a big sign somewhere in your house. On Sunday, we go to church. Be prepared. It is not a good soldier that stays up all night.
stays up doing things that are counterproductive to the spiritual life. And then you're so tired on Sunday that you can't get up. And you think somehow, because you make up some little excuse that sounds good to you, that somehow God is still going to be pleased with you. No, no, you didn't show up for the game. You didn't show up for the battle. When we open those doors right here, we're in spiritual warfare. We need every member in your place. We need every soldier on the team. We need everybody here and ready to worship God, ready to pray, ready to give, ready to go. I'm not getting much help, but I can preach my sermon. Because I'm not preaching by permission from you. I'm trying to tell you, you need to be a good soldier. Amen. Don't get so hardened that you can't take instruction. I'm giving you some last day instruction. It's time to be good soldiers. Don't say, well, I've been in the church so long I can kind of retire. There's no retirement in this army. You can't take off in this army. You're even a good soldier when you're on vacation. You're a good soldier when you're in the restaurant. You're a good soldier on the job. Everywhere you go, you got to be a good soldier. I'm challenging you to be faithful. I want to pray for you. Jesus, in your name, I pray. God, as the pastor of this church, I pray for these wonderful people. Thank you for this tremendous privilege that you've given me. God, and I pray that you will bless this church and help this church. But God, I know that you're trying to challenge somebody tonight to be a good soldier. God, help us to receive the call, to be ready to empty ourselves out, to be ready to give ourselves. And I ask it for your glory. Amen. Amen. You may be like those Iraqi soldiers. You may say, well, I got a good plan. As soon as it gets real hot, I'm leaving. I'm resigning. No, that's a bad plan. That's a bad plan. Because you're already on the winning side. God's going to win every war.
Yes, sir.
Who is on the Lord's side? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I want to give a general altar call tonight. I haven't done it in a long, long time. Saints and sinners alike. I want to ask you to make a commitment in your life to be a good soldier. Prayer rooms are open. Front of this church is open. Some of you need to be saved tonight. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to come. Others of you need to make a fresh commitment. I'm going to be a good soldier. Are you tired of mediocrity? Ever get tired of living the uncommitted life, the untested life, the untried life, just the lazy life, the indifferent life? You ever get tired of that? Is there ever something inside of you that says, I need to get really committed to God? I hope so. Because God is waiting for that passion. And when He sees it, He's going to respond to it. He always responds to faith and hunger. Whenever He sees hungry souls, God responds. Whenever He sees faith, He rewards it. I wonder in the next few minutes what kind of church we're going to be. Whether or not you can say, here am I, Lord, send me. I want to be a good soldier. I'm making a call to you right now as we sing. Do you want to be a good soldier? Come and rededicate your life to God. Consecrate yourself to God. What about it? You want to be a good soldier? On the job, in your family? Calvary, will you come? Old people, young people, choir members, help us sing. Come on, everybody.
The soldiers out there on the battlefield, at times you stand alone. That's when we reach for our holy armor. We take up our shield.
Keep coming.
Mark, don't do the battle.
Come on, young people. I want you to